Join me in God's holy word this morning in Psalms 107. Psalms 107. I preached from this psalm here a while back. I didn't preach from this particular verse. I'm going to preach from verse 20. I had a lot of struggles with that particular sermon. I wasn't feeling well and had some health issues going on at the time, I guess. And, you know, I try to do my very best as a preacher. I preached with a blood clot to my spleen, broken ribs, infection in my lungs and my head, and I've had preached with one eye, and I preached with all these different problems from time to time. And you know, I still believe and contend that when I am weak, He is strong. And it's not about me; it's about His Word. His Word is powerful, and sometimes the deliverance is not all that it should be or all that it could be. But God hasn't changed. He's still a saving God, and He has power to save and deliver and to redeem. But I want us to notice one verse that's kind of captured my attention, and it's found in verse 20. We live in a very troubled world. We're probably at the pinnacle of technological advancement. We're at the pinnacle of educational advancement and achievement. And yet we still live in a very troubled and chaotic time. The world is just spinning out of control. And we seem to be even drifting back into some kind of primitive paganism where people are just barbaric in their treatment of one another. We live in a time where it seems that people are just moving farther and farther and farther away from normal, what I would term normal behavior or normal morality. We seem to be in this time of all these tremendous inventions. I mean, we have all these inventions that have come to make our life more comfortable, that have come to make us more pleasant, have a more pleasant environment. It should comfort us and console us, and yet we find ourselves more and more uncontent and more discomforting than ever before. Our souls, our minds are just unfulfilled. There seems to be a time today when we are experiencing more and more pain and sorrow and confusion. You look around you and there's just all this dissatisfaction, all this discontent, all this unfulfillment. People are disillusioned, it seems, and we are just moving farther and farther away from God in our society, and all these things are spilling into the church. And that's a problem. We picked up kind of this jaded emptiness that the world is selling us. The sirens are going off, you know, and in response to all these pursuits of disillusion, and we ought to be alarmed at what we see going on, not only in our society, but in the church and in our lives today. Now, I believe, okay, I'm convinced that no matter how bad the world gets, I'm convinced that our personal relationship with Jesus Christ is sufficient to see us through. I'm convinced of that. And, you know, He is the solution for what ails us. He is the answer for what we need. He is the answer for our nation. He's the answer for our community. He's the answer for our lives. And, you know, every need that we have, Christ is able to supply. Every need that we have in our lives and in our homes, and I don't know if you pay a close attention to what's happening in current events and current affairs that go on in our world and in our nation, but it seems like there just seems to be this tremendous amount of pain in human relationships. Now, our marriages, many of the marriages are just, they're falling apart, and there's this systematic disaster that's going on in the homes and the lives of people, and I'm concerned. As a preacher, I think the church needs to be concerned about the things that God has ordained that needs to be sustained in order for us to have a civil and a moral society. This devastation in like marriages and people's lives, it's creeping of course into the church, and it's made its way, and it's disastrous. And there's just been this tremendous breakdown, and it's affecting our children. I tried to preach on that. I didn't do a very good job, but I tried to warn parents. I mean, parenting is very difficult. I've got another grandson. We're excited about that, but it's going to be difficult. Parenting is very difficult today. Children are exposed to so much wickedness, and there's been a breakdown in the home, and there's this tolerance in our society for wickedness and evilness, and it seems like people just seem to be, it becomes normal. There's been this normalization of some of the grossest sins. Have y'all noticed this? It's all over the place. It's in our media. It's in our society. And people are not offended by it. They're not alarmed by it. They're not even consciously aware of the fact that it offends a holy God. That kind of blindness should disturb us. The trouble the world has, it leaves our society, it leaves our lives with a deep sense of pain and disease. And we live in a time where the environment around us, I'm talking about the spiritual environment around us, is so far removed from what it needs to be. And then I get to remembering what the scriptures teach. That there can be joy in this life in the midst of this kind of environment. There can be happiness and there can be contentment. We can have a joyous life in this crooked and perverse culture as long as we continue to cultivate the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. All right, so I'm going to read some of these verses of scripture from Psalms 107. This psalm talks about deliverance. Whatever Israel went through, God was able to deliver them. He was able to deliver them from Babylonian captivity. He was able to deliver them from Egyptian bondage. He was able to deliver them from the Assyrians and the Syrians. He was able to deliver them from the north, south, east, and west. No matter what happened to them as a nation, God was the remedy. He was the redeemer. And He was the one that could deliver them. And He can deliver us. He can deliver us. And so there's all these illustrations through here. I'm not going to get into that. I got into that last time. It kind of bogged me down. I want us to notice verse 20. Verse 20, of course, he's praising God in this psalm for the deliverance, for the great things. He says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and the wonderful works to the children of men." And he talks about in this particular section, there's several analyses and several sections broken down with that one particular phrase that's repeated over and over again that begins the chapter or begins the psalm and runs consistently through here. One of the things that we need for healing is the Word of God. And that's what it says, that God, in delivering them, there's many things that He used to deliver the people of God in the Old Testament, and they're all depicted, they're all mentioned in this particular psalm. But one thing we need to pay close attention to is verse 20, where it says this. Notice what it says. It says, "He sent His Word." Everybody say, "Send His Word." He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Now I believe God is the source, the main source of healing. If we have physical ailments, if we have physical sickness, I believe in cooperating with physicians and doctors, but in essence, they cooperate with God, right? God is the one that brings healing, natural healing to our lives, but that's not what this is talking about. It's talking about the worst kind of sickness, and that's being sin sick. And He's provided His Word to heal us from spiritual disease and spiritual sickness. He has sent His Word to heal them. One of the things that a doctor will do when you go to the ER, you go to the hospital, you go to the doctor, he will evaluate you to try to determine, you know, your illness, and he will assess your situation. Let's look up into verse 17 of this 107th Psalm. Here's the assessment. He says, first of all, fools. That's what we were, right? Fools. We brought sin upon ourselves. We brought these diseases and the trouble upon ourselves. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says that Adam transgressed in the garden. It's sin that has brought about disease. It's sin that's brought about sickness. It's sin that has separated us from God. The Bible says that it is your sins that have separated you from God. We know that sin has separated us from God. And any time we evaluate our sinfulness, or any time the Spirit of God convicts us of sin, it is our own personal waywardness from God. The Bible says sin is the transgression of the law. Who did the transgression? We did, right? So we were fools. And we've all done some foolish things. We were born fools. It's in our nature. Foolish is bound up in the heart of the child. I read that a few weeks ago. We made some very foolish choices. It's a foolish choice to sin. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you there longer than you want to stay. And if you go into sin, if you choose a way of life of transgression and iniquity, there's a payment for it. A payment for those transgressions. And you know, as you examine sin, it seems like it's ingrained in us. We're depraved, amen? And when we're convicted of our sins, we realize that it was our choices. I mean, we've made some wrong choices. Sometimes in our lives, we made foolish choices. We've chosen the temporal over the eternal. There are times in our lives where we've chosen the flesh rather than the spirit. Come on now. There's times in our lives where we've sided with the devil, and rather than siding with God, we've made some poor choices at times. We've made some foolish choices. Notice what else he says in this particular passage. He says the fools, because what? Because of their transgressions, verse 17, and because of their iniquities are afflicted. We brought this upon ourselves. Fools, because of our transgressions, because of our iniquities, we are afflicted. So this is our disease. This is the patient's disease. He's foolishly, by transgressions and iniquities, brought this affliction upon him. We studied Wednesday night about Jesus bearing our sorrow and carrying our grief. And we notice in the 8th chapter of the book of Matthew, where that when Jesus was going around the country healing folks, that particular passage in Isaiah chapter 53 was quoted. And it was quoted in reference to Him healing. And it's changed just a little bit in Matthew chapter 8. If you want to turn there in your Bible in verse 17. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17. It's altered just a little bit. And talks about Him bearing our sickness. Him bearing our iniquity. One of the things I just really liked about the word, you know, Him bearing. And I really put a lot of stress on it Wednesday night. Is that means that He lifted it up off of us. Sustained us, and He took it from us. Isn't that great? He lifted it up off of us, sustained it in Himself, and took it away. Praise God. That's what Jesus has done. Folks, when He does that in your life, that's healing. Healing. And He is the one that brings healing. So healing the soul sickness with sin is the main thing that's being spoken of in this verse. Okay, it's not talking necessarily about physical healing, though God can do that. And He has done that in every one of us. You realize that if you have a scratch that heals, God was involved in it in that healing. You guys realize that? God was involved in it. And so we are sustained because of the goodness and the mercy of God. But the most important thing in this passage is to realize that we are sin sick. We are diseased by sin. Amen? Sin has caused us to do terrible and awful things, to make bad choices, and it's just plunged us further and further away from God. Listen, I don't have a new message. There's only one message that'll bring healing, and it's the old, old story of Jesus and His love. The gospel still is the power of God into salvation to everyone that believes. It'll bring healing to your life. Yeah, it's the thing that will bring change to your life. And so the old gospel meets every one of these cases, every one of these diseases, every one of these sicknesses. Because those that really preach the gospel, they preach Jesus. Jesus. The same thing, listen to me, the same thing, the same word, I'll put it that way, the same word that brought healing to people of long ago is the word that will bring healing for people today. The message hasn't changed. Message hasn't changed. He sent His word and healed them. All right. So, I'm going to break this down into three departments. I'm not going to preach very long. Oh, I better not say that because I might end up eating those words. But I'm going to break it down into three areas. Most of us that are Christians, we understand, first of all, that Jesus is the living Word, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. We know that all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten the Father, full of grace and truth. We know Jesus to be the Logos, the living Word. And anyone that is born again of the Spirit, they're born again by the Word of God. They're born again based upon what Jesus did on the merits of the cross, Him bearing our sins, Him making the atonement where we can go into the presence of a holy God. If we're ever healed of the disease of sin, it comes through Jesus. The merits of the cross. So sin can be eliminated and is eliminated, first of all, by the Word, the living Word, which is Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 and verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 3 and on and on and on. You know what? He is the great physician. He's a great physician, isn't He? And if you've not been to His office lately, you need to go there. You need to go see Jesus. Be healed of sin. I'm convinced one touch of His pierced hand will take care of any illness you've got. Let me ask you this, okay? This, and you need to really let this seep in. You show me one person while Jesus walked on the face of the earth that He ever turned away. Show me one. Show me one person! I mean, they would come to Him and they would be blind. And He would spit on the ground and make spittle out of the dirt, rub it on their eyes, and they would see. There'd be sudden blind men, or a lame man would be sitting by the pool of Bethesda. And Bethesda. They'd be put by the pool of Bethesda, and they couldn't even get in. What would Jesus say? Just like He said to the blind man after He put that stuff on his eyes. He says, now go and wash. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And that man would go and wash. And when he washed, he could see. He said to the man sitting by the pool, he said, stand up. Stand up. Well, the man couldn't stand up. He couldn't even get water when the angel came and disturbed the water to be healed. But at the word of Christ, they responded and they were made whole. Yeah, I'm telling you, He is the great physician. And He still has the power today to do as He did then. Remember what over and over again. I mean, He not only healed people. I love the story, and I preached this years ago about the man with the withered hand. Here's a man that couldn't move his hand, okay? He could not physically move his hand. And Jesus said, stretch out your hand. You think about that.
For the man to even try, he would have to do what? He'd have to exercise some faith, wouldn't he? He had never moved that hand before. It was impossible for him to move his hand. Just like the man sitting or laying beside that pool. Jesus said, stand up, take up your bed and walk. You know what? He did it. But he did it in faith. And it made it possible. You know, Jesus, I mean, the man did stretch his hand out and was made whole, right? The man with a withered hand. And you go through all these stories, you know, in the Gospels. I love the one where you say, well, my sickness is so bad. My sickness is so bad. I mean, my sin is so bad. Jesus can't help me. Yes, he can. He even stood at the tomb of Lazarus and he said, everybody said he said, Lazarus, come forth. The man came out tripping over his grave clothes, man. Yeah. He raised the dead. No matter how far gone you may think you are, Jesus is the answer. I thought about all these stories. You know, there are people and they blasphemed and that, man, they've committed some real hideous stuff. And let me say this to the church. The farther our culture gets away from God, we're going to be dealing with people that are really, they've really done some bad stuff. I mean, almost to the extent you'd think they were demon-possessed. Oh, but be of good cheer. Jesus took care of that too, didn't he? He would say, he'd tell to those that were demonically possessed, those that were out there in raging, sinful, wicked, evil activities, he would tell those evil spirits to be gone, and they were gone at his word. Well, Jesus is the word that people need to hear in order to be healed of the sin sickness upon their soul. He is the effectual healing of every sin sick soul. Let me say something else, okay? There's three aspects of this. Christ, the living word. There's also the Bible. I mean, the word of God, it's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. It is a balm. It is a medicine of sorts. Now let me say this, you know, about that, because I think it's very important for us to grasp this truth about the Word of God. Christ heals men, okay? Christ is the one that does it and not the Bible. Well, it's like the instructions on the bottle, you know? It's like, this is how you take the medicine in order to get, this is the medicine that you need to take. These are the instructions. If you go to Walmart or you go to Walgreens, you get a great big old paper, you know, that tells you about all the medication and what it does and how to take it. And if you're taking this, don't take that. And there's all these instructions aiding us that the medicine might be effectual, that it might work. And there are a lot of instructions in the Word of God, right? The Bible instructs you to come to Jesus. It instructs you to repent. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a wonderful promise. Amen? I mean, there are precepts of the Word. If you'll just obey them, you'll find healing. Healing. If you'll obey the Word of God. I was talking to somebody here recently about finances. And I just told him, I said, well, if they would recognize God first in their finances, they wouldn't have any financial problems. You know why? Because that's what the Word of God says. You guys do realize the only thing that keeps us from becoming a covetous person is giving. It's the only thing that will keep you from becoming a covetous person is giving. You know. But anyway, there's a remedy. There's a solution. If we will obey the precepts of God's Word, we can get rid of the sickness in our lives if we will do what God has said. You know, I was speaking to a young preacher, and he got the teaching, you know, from the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians about pastors pastoring full time, you know, and stuff like that, and giving, and the church just, you know, basically said, well, we're not going to do it. We're just not going to do it. I'll never forget, and I've told this before. I heard a man teaching Sunday school, and he was a deacon. And the Sunday school lesson was on tithing, okay? And he said, this just blew my mind. He said, now I believe this is what the Word of God teaches. This is what God has told us to do. I've never done it, and I never will. People, that's messed up. That'll keep you sick, okay? If you believe God has commanded us to do something, if there are precepts that tell us to do something, if we don't do it, then we stay sick. Just like the medicine. If you don't take it the way it's prescribed, you'll stay sick. So we got to obey the precepts and the promises. I'm thankful for the promises, aren't you? Like, everyone that thirsts, come to the water. What a glorious promise found in the Word of God that brings us to Jesus. Or this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Wow, what a wonderful promise. What a wonderful promise. I'll say this, the medicine is put into many different forms because the disease assumes many different forms. But just open your heart to the Word of God and you'll receive healing. Open up your heart to the living Word and to the Word of God and healing will come into your life. Read the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. Amen? She got an amen. Everybody say amen, whether you amen or say amen. I mean, you got to obey the Word of God, right? That's what Christianity is. That's what being a Christian is. Doing what God has commanded, right? The third one, and I'm about to close, is not only the living Word and the written Word, the Holy Word, this Word, the Bible, but I believe the Word of God needs power. The Holy Spirit. Working with the Word. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. I mean, yes, God many times, He would say like, let there be light. And then there was light. The Bible says He spake. And then it was done. See, there needs to be not just the Word, but there also needs to be the power behind the Word. Things have to be altered and changed in your life. And so, the Spirit of God works with us, works with the Word, works with the church, works with the preaching. And, I believe in spiritual synchronization. That God's Spirit puts you somewhere where the Spirit can use the preaching and the Word that's preached to effectually work in your heart so that the Spirit can work with the Word to make it work with you. A lot to be said about that. And so if you get out of alignment where and you're not where God wants you, and you're hearing preaching, but it's not the preaching where the Spirit has led you to be, where the Spirit can be working in the Word to work its perfect work in your life. You get all messed up. And let me say this to young families, okay? You better make sure you stay where God wants you, because that's where God's Word can be effective in you. I have mourned and wept over circumstances and situations where I knew people were making big mistakes. Not being led of the Holy Spirit to leave church or leave and go to another church, but because of other reasons. Listen, there's only one reason to join a church, and that's because the Spirit of God has led you. Period. No exceptions. Because where God wants you is where God will work in you. Are you with me? I don't care how big the church is or how small the church is or how many programs the church has. Listen, what needs to happen in your home, in your life, in your family is healing. Because you're going to get scathed out there in that world. And you're going to need the balm that comes from God's Word, where the Spirit will work in your life. Let me say this, and I'm closing. We're going to have the baptizing. God hasn't changed. And He's not going to change. He's not going to change for you. I want to say this to those of you that are sinners. Okay, now listen closely, okay? See, after you get saved, you realize the working of the Spirit in convicting you and bringing you and drawing you to Christ. After you get saved. Everybody say, after you get saved. That's when you have the awareness. The Spirit is in you. The knowledge of things concerning the work of the Spirit. It comes to you after you get saved. After you get saved. Some of you may be waiting for the Spirit, waiting to be consciously aware of the working of the Spirit before you repent or before you believe. It don't work that way. It don't work that way. If you're waiting for the Spirit to work in you some great work before you believe, you'll be waiting for eternity. I want to read you a quote from Charles Hignon Spurgeon. Quote, old preacher from years ago. I hesitated about reading this, but I think this is really good. No man ever knows the Spirit of God so as to consciously be aware that the Spirit is working at him, with him, until he knows Jesus. As no man can come to the Father but through the Spirit, so no man comes to realize and to be aware of the work of the Spirit on his soul till he knows Jesus Christ. Now, after you get saved, you'll talk about that. You'll talk about the spirit of conviction. And sometimes sinners get confused because we have developed an awareness after we're saved of the great work of God in convicting us. And we put a lot of emphasis upon that. Perhaps too much emphasis on it. To where sometimes sinners are sitting and waiting and waiting and waiting when the gospel says you repent and you put faith in Jesus Christ. Nowhere has ever, in all of the New Testament, does any of the apostles, any of the early preachers, ever tell a sinner, wait till you feel like coming to the Lord. There's an urgent plea in the gospel to come now. Repent now. Put faith in Jesus Christ now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what they said. That's what they preached. Now, after you get saved, you realize how much the Spirit of God was working in the gospel. Amen? But it's only an awareness that you have after you come to the Father. Anyway, I pray this morning that the Spirit of God will make you willing. Will make you willing to come. I pray that you'll be aware of the danger for not coming, consciously aware of the danger of not having your sins remitted. I hope that you'll understand the great providence of God, that there's a reason why you're here this morning. Get a song, Brother Dale. That this message might be preached to where you can come to the cross, and you can turn your heart over to Him. You can turn from sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you can be healed of your sin sickness. See, I believe that when you get saved, He changes you. Yeah. Makes you whole. I believe He can even remove the scars of guilt and shame. He did for Paul. He can do that for you. Stand to your feet. God bless you. Appreciate you listening to me this morning. He has given His word for your healing. Jesus dying on the cross to save you. The written word of God.
and the power of the Word, which is the Holy Ghost. And you'll realize the involvement in that. I'm convinced that when the Word of God is prayerfully preached, that the Spirit of God is always accompanying the truth. His never returns what? Void. That deacon, he got up and he laid out the truth. Those preachers of long ago, they would lay out the truth. The apostles would lay out the truth. They would preach it. They would preach the Word of God. And if people did not respond, they accused them of resisting the Holy Ghost. He said, you do always resist the Holy Ghost like your fathers. How'd they know that? Because they just preached the Word. And I'm telling you something. The Spirit of God always accompanies the truth. Always. Always.